King Solomon wrote over 3,000 proverbs from the Lord. Isn't that amazing? He recorded in writing over 1,000 songs. Isn't that pretty amazing? So when we think about this tonight, we think about some divine words of the Holy Spirit that I hope will really encourage our hearts and maybe rebuke our souls in the same manner. King Solomon speaking in verse 11, an evil man seeks only rebellion. Therefore, a cruel messenger will be sent against him. Let a man meet a bear robbed of her cubs rather than a fool in his folly. Whoever rewards evil for good, evil will not depart from his house. The beginning of strife is like releasing water. Therefore, stop contention before a quarrel starts. He who justifies the wicked and he who condemns the just, both of them alike are an abomination to the Lord. Why is there in the hand of a fool the purchase price of wisdom, since he has no heart for it? A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. A man devoid of understanding shakes hands in a pledge and becomes surety for his friend. He who loves transgression loves strife, and he who exalts his gate seeks destruction. He who has a deceitful heart finds no good, and he who has a perverse tongue falls into evil. He who begets a scoffer does so to his sorrow, and the father of a fool has no joy. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy and your love. Lord, as we search your word tonight, as the Holy Spirit speaks to us, as our hearts are encouraged, as our hearts are convicted, Lord, I pray that your word reveals to us who you exactly are, that you are the one and only God, the one who is in control of every affair of man. Lord, we thank you for your word today, that no demons, no devil, no hierarchy of evil has any standard when it comes to you. Lord, we thank you today that it is you who gives faith, and it's not mustered in us by our own deeds. Lord, we thank you today that we learned in your word that your disciples, when we try to do things on our own, and we try to do things with man-made techniques and man-made methods, that we utterly and miserably fail. Lord, it is through you that we can accomplish all things. Lord, I pray for our hearts tonight as we're encouraged in your word. And Lord, I pray for the ones here tonight that may be out of your will, that may be lost and blind. Lord, that tonight you reveal your will to them, that you're not willing that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. We love you, Lord. We praise your name, and we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Verse 11. An evil man seeks only rebellion. You probably know people like this, that their only focus is on rebellion. Seeks only in the Hebrew means that they are sensitive to. They're sensitive to rebellion. That's what that they thrive to. People in school that you probably knew that always broke the rules. People on your job that you knew that always broke the rules and stirred up strife, stirred up rebellion. You think about people today that are in trouble with the law because this evil man always turns to rebellion. You think about the groups today that are out there, and boy, they're being applauded by our media. And they're being put on a pedestal as being these great groups for social justice. And when we call black is black and white is white, they are nothing but groups of rebellion. And yes, I'm talking about Antifa, and I'm talking about Black Lives Matter. I'm talking about groups out there that many people have said, oh, we need to sit down and get to the table and listen to them. You cannot compromise with people that are ran by doctrines of demons. These evil men seek only rebellion. So therefore, because you reap what you sow, God has sent a cruel messenger against them. What does that look like? It may look like this. Talking about a student the other day, and that student's been in trouble three times for striking a teacher. And as that student's been in trouble three times for striking a teacher, on Friday that student told the teacher, he said, "You don't have any common sense." And I told that teacher when they told me that, I said, there is one place destined for this young man, and that is the penitentiary. If he will not behave in school, trust me, he will not behave when he gets out in the real world. And when he gets out in the real world, they don't care about your IEPs. They don't care about your modifications. They don't care if you're special ed or not. They'll put the cuffs on you just like they will anybody else. See, a cruel messenger will be sent against him that rebels. I was talking to our constable, Kelly Smith, about a criminal who has been well known in this area of Wood County. And we talked about this criminal, and he hunted him down all the way to California. And when he was there, and Kelly Smith approached this guy, he fell to his knees saying, "I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry." But let me tell you, people like that, they can say they're sorry all they want to. And they can go before the judge and plead their case. And they can get back out here on the streets and within a week be arrested again. They're not sorry. They're sorry that they got caught. And let me tell you, a cruel messenger has been sent to be against them. That's why we have the police, to protect and to serve. We have government, Romans chapter 13, set in place to administer justice on what should be done. It seems like our justice system is completely backwards, but let me assure you today, God is still on the throne. Verse 12, let a man meet a bear robbed of her cubs rather than a fool in his folly. Wow. Let a man meet a bear robbed of her cubs. We were in Cades Cove in Smoky Mountain National Park this past summer. Absolutely beautiful. Well, every time we go up there, we go through Cades Cove. And every time we've been through Cades Cove, we've been able to see bear. And when we're driving through there, we see four cars ahead of us. And we're out there at 8 o'clock in the morning so that we can see all the wildlife. And four cars ahead of us are pulled over to the side and people are out with their camera. And we get out. And we walk over there, and there's two little cubs playing up the tree. And oh, they're so cute. And my girls were just getting so giddy about seeing those little cubs. And one man said, "Don't get close, because Mama is right there eating berries." And we looked over into the field, and you could see her. She'd lift her head up and look back. Then she'd go back down to eat her berries, and she'd look back up. You wouldn't dare want those little babies to start crying or anybody to take those little babies, because Mama would be a charging ram coming after us. And so we keep driving into Cades Cove, and there was a big old oak tree with a limb that come across the trail. And we're driving, and the two little babies are playing, and they're just having a good time. And we're looking for Mama. And the game warden comes buzzing in by us on a motorcycle so they can make their way through. And the game warden tells us, keep moving. Keep moving. Why? Because you do not want to agitate the bear. Same premise here. We're not talking about a brown bear in the Appalachian Mountains. We're talking about a bear native to Israel and that area over there. But the same premise. A mama bear, you take her cubs away, she becomes very dangerous. Same thing here, as Solomon says, when you're around a fool in his folly. When you run with dogs, my great-grandmother told me, get ready to wake up with fleas. And so when you try to get around people that are fools, you're going to wind up in the same lot that they're in. So my prayer for especially our young people tonight, choose your friends wisely. Be careful who you run around with. I remember in a Brookshire's parking lot, guy told me to said, come over here and look at this. And I went over there and looked at this, and under the console of his pickup truck, he pulled out a pistol. He said, I just bought this pistol. And he was a fool. He said, hey, let's go riding around, drink some beer. And the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart, whatever you do, don't get in that truck. Because a fool with a gun is still just a fool. And so somebody that is a fool in their folly, you and I are to stay away from them, because they ought to have a sign on them that says, danger, just like a bear that's been robbed of her cubs. Verse 13. Whoever rewards evil for good, evil will not depart from his house. Guys, I'm going to tell you something tonight. Evil for good is of the devil. These con artists, I was talking to a lady the other day, an elderly lady, that was telling me about somebody that had come to her house and wanting to know about her and wanting to help her through the week so that she could make some money. And she said, Brother Michael, she was over there going through all my mail and in my bills. And I told her, I said, whatever you do, don't let that woman back in your house. These people that prey on the elderly, there's a hot place in hell waiting for them. There's people out there that people try to do good. They try to help them. They try to give them money and say, hey, come over here and work for me. And they get taken advantage of. People that just prey on people because they're evil. Whoever rewards evil for good, Solomon says, evil will not depart from his house. I think there's a perfect example in the Bible of this that Solomon knew well. It starts with his mama and daddy. David had Uriah killed. And Bathsheba went right along with it. And after that, calamity, trouble, and evil was upon the house of David. His kids went haywire. His marriages went haywire. And King David had problem after problem after problem. Because Uriah was a good man. And Uriah was trying to serve the king. And David had him put at the front of the line to be killed. Whoever rewards evil for good, evil will not depart from his house. That's a sobering verse here tonight, church. Verse 14. The beginning of strife is like releasing water. Therefore, stop contention before a quarrel starts. Let's talk about this for just a second. The beginning of strife is like releasing water. Many of you in here know that when you release water, that water is a very powerful force. When it rains at our house and it comes off the gutters and it goes down the slope in our backyard, it has carved a ravine because of the force of water and what it does to the landscape. Everybody knows soil erosion from your science classes. So Solomon's making this very clear here. When you have strife, it's like you're about to release a lot of water. And what he is saying here is that when you have this strife building up, and this strife could be an issue that you let fester, one preacher said this, do not let this issue fester. Talk it out, clarify things, and come to a resolution. Sometimes in the world of education, Stephen Covey brought this great utopia thinking into education that you always need to have a win-win. Well, can I tell you something tonight, church? There's no such thing as a win-win. Somebody's going to get their feelings hurt. Somebody's going to get mad. It's how we handle the situation. When strife begins, it's like releasing of water. Therefore, stop this contention before a fight breaks out. Before a fight breaks out. John and I have talked before about crucial conversations. My introductory to ag class, the first semester was leadership. The second semester that we're in now is animals. But in the first semester, we went through the course of crucial conversations, and all my little 17 intro to ag 7th graders got a little certificate saying that they completed the crucial conversations course about how to sit down and stop strife before it starts. Stop contention before it builds. stop quarrels before they begin to happen. But many of you in here know that you have tried to follow Matthew chapter 18, and you have tried to go to that brother or sister one-on-one, and they don't hear you. So then you get a brother and sister from the church to sit down and try to go and resolve it, and they still don't hear you. And maybe as a pastor, we should start bringing people before the church. But guess what? They won't come before the church. They won't have anything to do with the church. There are some people out there that are just bullheaded, stubborn as a government mule, and will not admit that they're wrong. Can I get a witness tonight? Michael Myers falls into that category sometimes. And so therefore, we have to talk it out. We have to work it out. We have to clarify these things so that we stop strife, because it becomes like releasing water, and water causes erosion. And therefore, we need to stop contention before the fight starts. As old Barney Fife would say, we need to nip it in the bud, right? Look at verse 15. He who justifies the wicked and he who condemns the just, both of them alike are an abomination to the Lord. I want to talk about this for just a second. Somebody that justifies wicked. We have people like Epstein. We have people that walk around in the mall with that drug cartel El Chapo on their T-shirts. We have people walk around the mall, and I have kids come into my classroom with Tupac Shakur on their T-shirts. We have people walk into my classroom and walk around the mall with Kurt Cobain, Nirvana on their T-shirts. And they justify the wicked. Because we can sit here all day long and try to justify, well, the reason Jeffrey Epstein did this was because of this. And we can justify El Chapo, and we can justify Kurt Cobain, and we can try to justify everybody under the sun. But I'm going to tell you tonight, he who justifies the wicked and he who condemns the just, those ones that stand up against the righteous, those ones that stand up against the good guys and put the good guys down, let me tell you how our Lord thinks of them. He says they're an abomination to the Lord. And we need to listen to this tonight. Dr. Wiersbe said this, and I want to share this with you. I thought it was pretty good. He said, some preachers preach so much on the love of God that we lose sight of the fact that God also hates. God has no pleasure in sin. Sin grieves the Father, grieves the Son, grieves the Holy Spirit. We have to remember in balance that God is love. We have to remember in balance that God is light. But we also have to remember, Dr. Wiersbe says, that our God is a consuming fire. And He is going to spill His wrath upon the ones who justify the wicked and condemn the just. I just want to tell these kids, Kurt Cobain was nothing but a drug user. He was nothing but a glorified drug user who wrote a couple of songs to make himself so famous. I'll never forget, I was 18 years old at Old Settlers Park there in Quitman, Texas, that we're in a youth revival, and the guy that's speaking that night walks out and he's dejected, and he says, hey, Kurt Cobain just committed suicide. He said, kids, can I tell you something? He just stopped. He didn't even preach. He said, can I tell you something? I know there's a lot of you teenagers out there listening to Nirvana. He said, if Kurt Cobain didn't repent, he's in hell right now. And boy, that hit me. Because I listened to him. I listened to the band. And I sit there intently listening to this. And these kids glorify Tupac. They glorify these guys that are absolute criminals. He who justifies the wicked and those ones who condemn the just, both of them alike are an abomination to the Lord. The word means abhor. The word means hate. And we need to preach it like it says it. Verse 16. Why is there in the hand of a fool the purchase price of wisdom, since he has no heart for it? The fool has no glory in wisdom. The fool could care less about wisdom. But what will the fool try to do? You know people that's got more money than they know to shake a stick at, right? So what do they try to do? They try to buy everything in life. They try to buy their way into the colleges. Didn't we see that with Lori Loughlin? They try to buy their way into prestigious jobs. They try to get their kids. Hey, I got this much money. If you look at this, I'm going to give you this. Hey, if you listen, you know how much money I've got. Give my kid a full ride to Arkansas, a.k.a. Jerry Jones, and let's get you up there, and I'm going to take care of you, where this other kid's doing all that he can to be the best that he can, but because they got that last name and they got a little bit of money to them, they try to buy their way with the almighty dollar. Solomon says, why is there in the hand of a fool the purchase price of wisdom? He has no heart for it. The fool could care less about wisdom. The fool knows nothing about wisdom. My prayer for us as believers tonight is that we have a desire for godly wisdom. What does that look like? Well, Solomon's taught us. Number one, fear of the Lord. Number two, humble ourselves before the Lord. Solomon has taught us that a true believer in Christ will accept correction from Christ, and a true believer in Christ will accept correction from a brother or sister. I've known brothers and sisters in Christ where you have gently tried to restore them, you have gently tried to correct them, and they get so mad that they just blow up at you and leave church and don't ever come back. That is somebody that is a fool. My prayer tonight is that we at New Hope Baptist Church are not fools. Verse 17. Boy, I love this verse. Can I get an amen? A friend loves at all times. Man. It's good to have friends. It's good to have friends. Boy, I tell you what. One of my best friends called me up and said, Michael, my wife wants a divorce. And we talk. And he shares his life. Shares his story. Shares what's going on. He said, I don't want a divorce. I love her. I want to make it work. I've forgiven her. I want to press forward. And she wasn't willing. She said, no, I want to split. A friend loves at all times. And out of that, a brother is born for adversity. He is my brother. He is my friend that if I was broke down over here on Highway 80 and he lives 45 miles away, all I would have to do is call him and say, hey, I'm broke down over here. Can you come pick me up? And he'd be there like that. Hey, I got a question to ask you tonight. And this is a very important question. Number one, are you a friend like that? And then number two, do you have friends like that? I get so frustrated with people that are on social media. I'm just going to gripe for a minute. Can I do that? Somebody told me about somebody that I love deeply. Somebody that I respect deeply. Said, well, did you know that they've got so many, I don't know, followers? Is that what do you call them on Facebook? Followers, friends, whatever. On Twitter, they follow you. I can't keep it straight, nor could I care less. And they said, well, they've got this many friends on Facebook, and they've got this many followers on Twitter. And I just sat there for a minute, and I said, you know what? That don't amount to a hill of beans. I can count on my hand my true friends. I can count on my hand my true brothers that have my back, that are going to be there for me all the time. If some type of crazy thing happened and Michael Mize was accused of murder, there would be a lot of people in this church say, we're bailing on that preacher. But I would have true friends that would have my back every step of the way. A friend loves, listen to me church, because this is important. A friend loves at all times. And a brother is born out of adversity. When life gets tough, I had one of my best friends dress up as a lady and sit in Walmart parking lot trying to get money and scam people to get money for himself so that he could have money in his wallet to buy food. And everybody said, he's sick in the head. And everybody said, turn your back on him. No, a friend since kindergarten. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born out of adversity. And I'm proud to say in this pulpit today, he is still one of my best friends. We need more people that will be friends in this world. We need people that will be brothers and sisters for each other. We need people that will be there for each other through the thick and through the thin. Wiersbe said it like this: a fair weather friend is no friend at all. Fair weather friend is no friend at all. Boy, when I was boozing it up and having the good times at Brookshire's, hanging out with all the cool dudes and all the cool girls, and man, everything was going just great. And then, boy, I got hit right in the face with Spanish flu. And I got laid on my back for 2 weeks. I thought I was going to die. I never told anybody at the church to pray for me. I told my mama one Wednesday night, tell Brother Fred to pray for me. I thought I was going to die. I had two people come to my house and check on me. Two people. That, my friends, is true friends. That, my friends, is when the thick is going and you got all these people that are hanging out with you. Oh, let's hang out with Michael this weekend. Boy, it's going to be fun. All those people you never saw. But boy, when it got thin, I had two people that loved me, and one of them I'm married to. And another one is still one of my dear friends today. That all I have to do is pick up the phone and call, and he'd be there just like that. Church, I'm passionate about this. Because when you got a friend, you got a brother for life. And my prayer is that you got a friend. And my prayer is this, that somebody can call you a friend, just like what this verse talks about. Enough of that. Verse 18. A man devoid of all understanding shakes hands in a pledge and becomes surety for his friend. We've talked about this numerous times. Don't co-sign for anybody. Don't co-sign for anybody. A man devoid of understanding does not understand, shakes hands in a pledge and says, hey, sure, I'll co-sign for you, and becomes surety for his friend. And then he takes on his debts and he takes on his loans. And then you've got a catastrophe on your hand. See, watch this, church. You and I have been called by the New Testament writers under the Holy Spirit to take care of our families. And ones that do not take care of our families, Paul told young Timothy, they are to be treated worse than an unbeliever. We are called to take care of our families. My first priority is not everybody under the roof of the church that's suffering. And I understand there's a lot of suffering. I understand people can't pay their bills. I understand people can't pay for their groceries. I understand that people can't pay for their electric bill. I understand that stuff. But my obligation is not to those people. My obligation is to Jacqueline and to those four girls. They are to be taken care of. Think about that, guys. And I'd be careful for any unholy alliance that you may make by shaking hands with somebody and saying, hey, we'll be a surety for you because it'll come back to bite you. My mom could preach on this. Okay? She works at a bank. She sees this day in and day out. Number 19. He who loves transgression loves strife. This basically saying a man who loves sin, loves conflict. That word means conflict. Those people that love to sin, love to be in conflict. You ever know those people, they just love drama? They love to be in the middle of everything and they love to stir up everything. They can't have a peaceful moment within their family because they've always got to stir something up. This is what Solomon's talking about. He who loves transgression, he who loves sin, loves strife. The proverb writer in Proverbs 26 and 20, some people say that this was not Solomon, but it is a great proverb. Where there is no wood, the fire goes out. Where there is no talebearer, the talebearer in the Hebrew means somebody that goes about like a merchant selling lies. Where there is no talebearer, listen to this, strife ceases. You ever known that, like at your job, when you get rid of the gossiper, how much calmer it gets? Have you ever noticed at your church, when some people decide to leave, how much calmer it gets? Because when the talebearer leaves, the strife goes with the talebearer, because when you don't have any wood, there can't be any fire. And so my prayer is for you and I tonight that we don't love sin, and that enables us to produce this conflict of strife, this discord of strife. Because the Lord has called us as fellow believers to come into His house in unity. In unity. I don't know about you, but I'm here to worship the Lord. All that other stuff, kick it to the curb. He who exalts his gate seeks destruction. This is somebody in ancient times that Solomon was talking about, would build their house upon a large hill. And then they would build their gate even higher because it would boast about how rich they are. So this is somebody, he who exalts his gate, he who brags, he who boasts, he's who arrogant. Don't you know those people that are boasting all the time about how great they are? That are bragging all the time about how good they are? That are just so arrogant? Man, I can't stand to be around people like that. Thank you, Miss Nelda. He who exalts his gate seeks destruction. Trust me, the prideful man, Solomon tells us, will fall. Will fall. Verse 20. He who has a deceitful heart finds no good. Deceitful in the Hebrew means that his motives and his morals are distorted. This person will never find any good. Why? Because they're always into the bad. He who has a perverse tongue falls into evil. Somebody perverse in the Hebrew means twisted. It's where we get the word lie. Somebody that's always lying. Listen to this. Whoever lies, whoever has a lying tongue, whoever has a perverse tongue, whoever has a twisted tongue will fall into evil, trouble, or calamity in the Hebrew. You ever watch those old crazy soap operas? They start a lie and they go to another lie. And they go to another lie and they go to have to cover up that lie, and it just keeps going and going and going. And listen, we can talk about soap operas all day long. But now let's start talking about New Hope Baptist Church. Let's start talking about our homes. Let's start talking about our towns. Let's start talking about our schools. Guys, we know people that have deceitful hearts. We know people that have perverse tongues. And there's only one outcome for that kind of lifestyle. And Solomon says they will fall into evil. Last but not least for tonight, verse 21. He who begets a scoffer does so to his sorrow. Begets means to give birth. A scoffer is one who foolishly doubts and rejects the truth. This would be somebody that is an atheist. This would be somebody that David says that the fool has said in their heart, there is no God. That would be a scoffer. That would be somebody that rejects the truth of the gospel. You probably know many people like this. Brother Earl shared with the youth on Wednesday night a young student that he discipled at Lindale First Baptist Church. And that young man went to college and was poisoned with indoctrination of the liberal colleges. And the student said, I do not believe in God anymore. And therefore, I'm sorry. I'm trying to be much better at this and stop on time. So just bear with it. That's why it went off this morning too. But guess what? It's not going to happen tonight. So here we go. That young man said, I don't believe in God anymore. Earl carried him out to lunch, tried to talk to him. Said, it doesn't hurt for you to pray. I remember when you prayed in the youth. I remember it didn't hurt you one bit. And that kid told him, said, Brother Earl, it would hurt me to pray. But by the time the conversation had ended before he left, he said, you know what, Brother Earl, I might try to pray. This was a scoffer. This was somebody that was so intellectually abled by liberal colleges that he was spiritually no good. Boy, we're losing our kids, guys. Y'all know that? We're losing our kids. Our kids go off to college and they become indoctrinated by their professors that teach them this baloney of humanism, and they fall flat on their face. This culture that we have right now from 18 all the way up close to my age, 42, I'm older than that, but that age group from 18 to 42, they have completely disappeared from the church. Completely. What are we going to do, guys? What are we going to do? Well, remember this morning what I said? That it's not in our man-made techniques. Because faith is not generated in us. Faith comes from God. This specific church has been assembled for this specific time. Give Him praise for that. And so, what do? We keep on witnessing. We keep on reaching out. We keep on sharing the gospel. We keep on being friends and building those relationships. Build those friends with your coworkers and lost people, and have those relationships so that you can shine that light with them. But there's a lot of scoffers out there, guys, that just don't believe what we believe. He who gives birth to a scoffer does so to his sorrow. It brings that parent sorrow to see their kid not believe in God. Man, I sure pray. I pray my girls come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Man. And the father of a fool has no joy. The father of a fool has no joy. There may be some parents in here tonight that look back on your life and ask yourself, did I parent correctly? You think about your kids and there may be some embarrassment that goes with that. And I just want to encourage you parents tonight, you grandparents tonight, this. We are born sinners. And when somebody is in a sin state, there is no super parenting book that you can take and apply to your home that's going to make them born again. The only thing that can help a fool is the grace of God. And my prayer is for all of us tonight, me as a parent included, I have four girls that I love with all my heart. Four girls that I pray that the Lord calls unto Himself. Four girls that I pray grows up loving the church, loving the Lord, loving the things that He like right now, little Brooke's back there and says, on Sunday night I'm going to teach Macy and Abby about Joseph. So this Sunday afternoon she prepared a little lesson on Joseph to teach her little sisters. So I told little Gracelyn and Emma and the other little girls, don't stay in here and listen to me. Go back there and listen to Brooke. That may not continue to happen. She may turn her back on the Lord. She may turn her back against what we've taught. But Jacqueline and I have been instructed to train up our child in the ways of the Lord so that when they're old, they'll not depart from it. And my prayer tonight is that we all understand that. And you say, Brother Michael, I just look back on life and it was such a... I have so many regrets. Listen, don't look back. Look forward. And the Lord has given us tonight. The Lord has given us today. Let's use the most of it. Where most Christians are defeated is that when they start looking back. Paul says, do not look back. Press forward. Amen, Miss Anna. Press forward because there was an upward goal, an upward prize, and praise God, His name is Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank You for our church. I pray for our parents tonight, our grandparents tonight that may be struggling with issues within their own house, maybe with estranged relationships. Lord, maybe they have kids tonight, You know, that aren't born again. Lord, I pray that You comfort these parents' and grandparents' hearts. And Lord, let them realize that You are the author and finisher of our faith. Lord, we're going to keep praying. We're going to keep teaching. We're going to keep witnessing. We're going to keep doing what You have called us to do. And Lord, we know that all the glory is Yours. Lord, tonight there may be others here tonight that are struggling with some of these verses. Some of these verses may have struck their heart. Lord, thank You that Your Holy Spirit convicts. But Lord, also thank You that Your Holy Spirit encourages. And Lord, we're thankful that Your Word encourages us all. Lord, be with our people. Put a hedge of protection around them. Lord, bless them and guide them and give them a great week. Lord, bring us back safely the next time these doors are open. And Lord, we're going to give You the praise for it. We love You and we praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. Guys, thank you for being here tonight. I pray that you've enjoyed our study. Maybe enjoy is not the word for it. Maybe you feel convicted tonight. Whatever the Lord has put on your heart, I would encourage you to not quench the Spirit, but listen to what the Spirit is saying to each and every one of our hearts. This week, Wednesday night, Brother Curry's got a class on Ephesians. Fantastic. Brother Schaefer is in the Gospel of John. Fantastic. Our youth has just been fantastic. We've got a lot of great things going on here in our midweek services. I would encourage you to attend if you can. Next Sunday, we'll be back in the Gospel of Mark in the morning service. And then next Sunday night, we'll finish up Proverbs 17. Does that sound like a plan? I pray you have a good week. And if I can do anything for you, don't ever hesitate to call me, text, reach out, and I'll do what I can for you. Praise God for His goodness and mercy. Amen. Let's stand. Brother John, Miss Lanita, come and give us a good closing hymn. Again, I'll stand up.